Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
Who I'm glad to say is with us in studio today, standing by to chat about this issue of airline cancellations caused by profitability decisions, not lockdowns, and the case of some of the customers who've been left in the lurch as a result. We will also make time for open line calls after 2:30. So if you want to join the conversation, remember you can call us on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. You can also tweet me at PJC Hudson. Quick one before we talk airlines, because this is immediately answerable, I think. Andre's just mailed me, Wendy, saying, hello, by the way.
Hello.
Is anybody else having problems connecting to the Nedbank Money app? He says, I've been battling the whole morning and nobody is getting back to me. Have you been aware of any other queries around that today?
I haven't, but I'm busy having a look online now. We can talk in a sec. But
okay. If anybody else
I've heard.
Has had problems like that, please just pop us an SMS or a little WhatsApp to let Andre know he's not alone. It might well be an app issue, not an Andre issue, but it would be nice if we could give him some clarity on that.
Yeah, here we go. I've got it.
Okay.
58 seconds ago, Nedbank tweeted, Nedbank Money app is temporary unavailable. We apologize for any inconvenience this might have caused. We are working to recover these services as quickly as possible and ask that you make use of online banking in the interim.
Okay, so that is the answer. Andre, the app is indeed down and it's not you, but you can access it through online banking. Thank you for asking so that we could alert everybody else. Wendy, and thanks for the quick research. Okay, now, we have dealt with a lot of airline cancellation woes in the past year, Wendy, but those were a very different scenario from today, because today we're talking not about flights that were grounded by lockdown.
Not at all. Today we're looking at flights other than to the major South African cities, which are cancelled by airlines because too few people booked a seat on them, making it uneconomic to operate the plane. You understand it's a financial thing, but it causes great hardship and inconvenience
and
disruption to consumers, and should they have to bear the financial brunt on top of it? That's really the issue we're looking at today. So more than one domestic airline has done this, unilaterally cancelled flights recently and then refused to refund ticket holders, at least initially. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's about profitability, as we've said. Other times it's about airport and runway quality lapses. But whatever the cause, it's an issue which has, as we said, potential impact on local travellers. So yes, it's one thing to have the plans cancelled. It's another thing when they turn around and say,
we're not refunding you.
You need to book bank that the value in your ticket and use it with us on another flight, because presumably if you wanted to go to that destination at that time, you would make another plan to do it on another airline. You ideally want the money back, but that's the other thing. Even if you are if they do deign to refund you, it's very seldom a quick thing. It can take months. So it's a issue, I think, that prejudices a lot of consumers. While we can acknowledge that airlines have their business imperatives, and certainly in the case of airport closures, that's
beyond their
control.
It's not a new issue. I mean, Wendy, I know our listeners are probably remembering, I think it was late last year, we were reporting that Mango had been doing
December,
this. They'd been cancelling flights because of poor bookings. And if you remember the story, in those cases, the big issue there was not as much the cancellation of the flights as the terrible communication that happened, that
well,
they
no
didn't
communication.
Tell customers.
Can you imagine?
So
people got to airports and then were told, no, that Mango flight is cancelled. I mean, that's just completely unjustified. A lot stronger words I could use. At the time, a Mango spokesman acknowledged that there had been some issues with customer communications around this, as he put it, but that they were capacitating their call center.
Don't you love the corporate speak?
And refunds. Personnel to deal with this challenge. So the key word there being refunds, and people were eventually refunded, but as I said, not soon enough for those needing to make immediate alternative travel arrangements, which would be the case. And I mean, you're at the airport, you clearly got plans to be somewhere,
with
you've got
suitcase,
other bookings.
Well, at least those customers got a refund, Wendy. The last few weeks we've heard from several customers of Airlink in particular who not only lost the flights they thought were secured, but in some cases there were quite severe knock-on impacts as well, and very fuzzy communication around refunds.
Yes, exactly. So for many airline customers, the cancel flight issue hasn't been lack of prior notification, although in some cases it was 2 days. But then the airlines aren't going to know that long in advance whether they haven't got enough bookings on that flight, I guess. It's actually the issue of the refund, as we said. Many of them have been told, you don't have an option of a refund. You must, bank the value for another flight. And then, of course, the other issue is one of compensation for expenses or losses directly related to cancelled flights. And the CPA does make
provision for that. Yeah.
Obviously, if the flight is unilaterally cancelled by the airline for no other reason than they've decided they're not going to make money on it, it stands to reason that the consumer who paid in good faith and made all the other, not only the money back, but all the other costs that were directly related. So that brings us, as
to,
you say,
to our case studies. Yes. Okay, so the first one from Sky Kennedy, who is a regular traveller, and she told us she'd been a very loyal Airlink customer for many years. She goes up to the Kruger Park quite regularly. Mm. It's the Airlink flight to Skukuza that has been her regular. But the reels fell off twice in her case. First in October, she wrote to say she booked and paid a premium for a direct flight from Cape Town to Skukuza. And just a few days before departure, Airlink informed her, sorry, that flight has been cancelled, and booked her on an indirect flight instead. She said, I now had a stopover in Joburg, which would mean I only reached my destination after 7 o'clock, a very, very long day of travel. And the same thing happened with my return flight. So her initial comment is, I'm not really sure what the point is of paying almost 9,000 Rand, a premium for a direct flight, if Airlink can just put you on a cheaper flight whenever they want without any compensation. But she says, I got over it, put it down to just one unpleasant experience with an airline I'd used many times before without incident, and was pretty certain it wouldn't be repeated. However, she had a special trip planned for her mother in May last year. Mm. Because of COVID, they had that was, of course, cancelled. So she opted to move it to March this year. She says, as most people do, I booked my flights first and then planned everything else around those flights. This time there was no option of a direct flight from Cape Town to Skukuza, so I booked an indirect flight through Joburg. And then once again, the wheels came off. Not too long before we left, I was told again that Airlink had changed the flights. The initial changes, which were inconvenient, would at least have got us there eventually for the upward leg.
Yeah.
But our return flight was completely cancelled, she says. There was just no flight any longer from Skukuza to Joburg on the 23rd of March. So the airline offered her a couple of options. You can leave a day earlier, which she said would have meant forfeiting the 2,500 Rand she'd paid for accommodation on the final night of their holiday, because it was too late to get a refund.
She checked there wasn't going to be any money.
Yeah. Or they said you can leave on your original intended date, but you have to drive to a different airport and fly out of Nelspruit instead of Skukuza. So she would have incurred car hire costs. Plus, she would have had to move her accommodation to be closer to Nelspruit so that they could make the flight on time. And again, she says, absolutely no compensation offered, just the standard, we're sorry, our apologies routine. It seems they have a monopoly on these small legs and feel they can just do whatever they want with no regard for the customer. She says, I have an upcoming trip in June, July. I'm now looking at alternative ways to get there because I just don't trust Airlink anymore. I am a reasonable person, and as a business owner myself, I understand that sometimes you may have to do something like change a flight because it's simply not affordable. But cancelling a direct flight and replacing it with a cheaper indirect flight, whether or not it's in the terms and conditions, without any compensation, that feels like theft, was her comment. Wendy, she's not the only one who's had this kind of experience either.
No, she's not. So we were contacted by Helen Hoare, who wrote us, who wrote the following. In early March, I made reservations with Airlink for two tickets to fly on the 15th of April, Joburg to Polokwane, and the return flight 5 days later. I paid almost 11,000 Rand. By chance, on the 7th of April, I happened to glimpse an internet news flash that Airlink did put this up on their website. That's where I saw it. We're cancelling all flights into and out of Polokwane, not by choice, but because there were safety concerns around that airport. I'm presuming a runway issue.
I think it was a runway issue, yeah.
I immediately contacted Airlink, and after endless phone calls, I received a reply from a customer care agent pointing me to a clause on their website stating the airline reserves the right not to refund a ticket for any flight in which a force majeure event occurs, includes fire and rescue services downgrade of airport. We can offer you two choices. Keep your ticket on hold. It's valid for 2 years. You can get a refund, but only for 749 original tickets issued as per fare rules. No one explained what that meant. I recall that it has to be directly booked via Airlink and not via, say,
an
for example,
agency
or SAA. You can book. I'm not sure, but we will ask in due course. Ask the airline that. Having immediately informed Airlink that we will never be reinstating our bookings and require a full refund, She was informed by the agent, eSky, that the payment is non-refundable, even in the case of flight cancellation. Also, the airline is not offering a monetary refund of the ticket fare. Please choose the available options. And she said, we are not going to accept this absurd offer. We are committed to take up a fully paid accommodation booking in the Kruger National Park, and so we will not be repeating this travel arrangement. Anyway, she subsequently, cut a long story short, we were copied in on her email to Airlink, and then there was a change of heart and she was offered a refund, but in 3 to 4 months.
It's a long time to wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so Helen is getting a refund eventually, but is waiting a long time for it. One more example, listener Cheryl Otto bought a ticket to fly from Joburg to Richards Bay in December last year, and the flight was cancelled because the Richards Bay airport was shut when the country went back into lockdown over December. When she queried with Airlink what the procedure was to deal with the ticket, she was advised it'll be good for use for 1 year past the date she was originally due to fly. But when she went online to try and book a trip to Richards Bay in March, she discovered that Airlink no longer flies that route anymore. So she called the customer care centre. I was advised I can use the ticket for any other destination that they fly to, she says. I told them I don't need to fly anywhere else. I don't ever fly to any of their other destinations. She wanted her money back. And the two options they offered her were to reroute to Durban, which she says I was trying to avoid because I didn't want to have to hire a car and then drive on to Richards Bay. Or secondly, sorry, use it or lose it, it's a non-refundable ticket. And her question was, do I have any recourse against the airline or must I say goodbye to about 2,300 rand?
Yeah. So, of course, I took up the cases with Airlink CEO and Managing Director Roger Foster, pointing out that with regard to the closure of the Polokwane Airport, according to Consumer Goods and Services Ombud Mahata Batlele, force majeure does not apply to consumer contracts. Hence, those who bought air tickets to that airport are entitled to a refund if that's their choice of remedy. She also told us on the show, Pippa, just last week, that, which is why we're following up now, that the Consumer Protection Act covers the scenario of flights unilaterally being cancelled by airlines. A refund is due, she said, along with incidental costs such as a wasted hotel booking or, in Sky Kennedy's case, extra fees for changed hotel bookings and car hire arrangements to accommodate the alternative travel arrangements.
And we've actually just, I want to replay the clip of her saying that in case anybody wasn't listening last week or missed that segment. This is Consumer Goods and Services Ombud Mahata Batlele talking to us last week.
But that is a unilateral decision by the airline that has got nothing to do with the consumer. The consumer did not cancel. The supplier, based on trading conditions, decided that they need to make changes. So I don't see how the consumer could be penalized for that and not be entitled to a full refund. Section 47, which deals with overbooking, does say that you are entitled to a refund with interest plus incidental costs.
Okay.
Where the supplier only escapes that clause if the inability to supply was due to circumstances beyond their control, which is the pandemic. But under normal circumstances, if they decide, then you are entitled to ask for incidental costs, but not damages.
Okay, so there are two different categories then in the case studies, Wendy, because one of those was a circumstance beyond their control, the issue of the airport being deemed unusable. The other two, though, were cancellations, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there are two different scenarios here to look at. We have Airlink CEO and Managing Director on the line to us. He's been listening in to the conversation so far and to that clip. Roger Foster, thank you very much for joining us on Cape Talk. Welcome.
Hello, Wendy. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Thank you. That was Pippa, actually, Roger, but thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. It happens all the time. So Roger, let's speak to the issue of what Mahata just said about the compensation that is due for customers in these cases.
Well, I like what she said because she referred to circumstances beyond the control of the service provider. And I think in all of these instances, we're talking about circumstances beyond the control of the airline. And maybe we can deal with them one by one. The Polokwane Airport was deemed decategorized by the Civil Aviation Authority, and therefore it was unavailable for use by the airline, circumstances out of the control of the airline, on a temporary basis. They've been given the opportunity to address the faults that are inherent within their system. It's not specific to the runway, it's more specific to the emergency rescue firefighting services.
Okay.
And in due course, they will address those, and they will be in. They will have their airport category reinstated to Category 7, and at that point, we can carry on resuming air services. So the tickets that were issued for services to Polokwane will be honoured when the Polokwane Airport has its category reinstated. As in the case of Richards Bay, the Richards Bay Airport has not been reopened for commercial air services subsequent to COVID-19. It was closed like all airports around the country were on the 28th of March last year. And when air services were permitted to resume from around about June last year, you will recall that initially they were restricted only to operate between Johannesburg, Cape Town and Durban. And then over time, other airfields around the country were also permitted to have air services at those airfields. In the case of Richards Bay, Richards Bay has never been reinstated. Now, tickets were issued on Richards Bay. Richards Bay Airport has to reinstate itself, and as soon as it does, the services, ailing services, will be resumed to Richards Bay. It has been in our plans all along, and we continue in conversation with the Richards Bay Airport, looking for a date as to when they are going to be able to accommodate air services again. And as soon as they do, those services will be reinstated. In the meantime, our customers holding tickets to Richards Bay, they just hold on to those tickets. Those tickets remain valid for a year beyond their validity date, and they are welcome to use them at any point in time as soon as those services are reinstated. So it's not that we've cancelled services to Richards Bay. It's that a matter beyond the control of the airline is at play. As soon as the airport reopens, our services will resume again. And then as far as the Cape Town Skukuza, the Cape Town Skukuza services have not as yet resumed pursuant to the COVID-19 lockdown. Ticket holders on that route have been offered rerouting, and the rerouting is either via Johannesburg to Skukuza, and there are two other alternatives that they can use as well, and that is Cape Town Nelspruit is a direct service and Cape Town Hoedspruit is a direct service, and both of them are drivable to Skukuza. They're not that far to drive, but if they want to get to Skukuza as the destination, they're all destinations in the Lowveld that I've highlighted, if they wish to get to Skukuza, then the alternative is via Johannesburg. It's not a cheaper routing. It's more or less the same price, in fact, common rated exactly with the price of the service between Cape Town and Skukuza. It's the same as via Johannesburg. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Wendy and Pippa, you know, Airlink's mission is to look out for our customer. We're there for the customer, and we recognize that. And we are a customer-centric business. But at the same time, when there are circumstances beyond our control, as in the closure of the Polokwane Airport, as in the non-reinstatement of the Richards Bay Airport, it's not available for commercial services, or the fact that we've not been able to reinstate the services between Cape Town and Skukuza directly, and there is an explanation to that, and that is that most of the support in that particular service is international travel, and international travellers have not resumed as yet because of the travel bans on South Africa. There are more than 120 countries around the world that have kept their travel bans on South Africa in place. And as soon as those are released, then obviously those services will be resumed as well.
Cape Talk. Consumer Talk. Call now on 021-446-0567.
Right, thank you for your patience. We are back with Airlink CEO and Managing Director Roger Foster on the line. Wendy Nola with me in studio. And before the break, we were sharing case studies of unhappy listeners whose flights on Airlink had been cancelled with what they felt was insufficient offer of recompense for that. Now, Roger's made a very fair point, Wendy, that in some of these cases, there is a definite issue that was not the airline's fault. It was not within their control to know that the Polokwane Airport was going to be deemed unsuitable and decategorized by the Civil Aviation Authority. They could not have foreseen that Richards Bay Airport would not be reopened subsequent to COVID. I think anybody can accept that that is a fair argument. I'm not so convinced about the Skukuza leg here, though, and I just want to get a little bit of clarity here. We've got Roger back on the line with us. Roger, so the Skukuza Airport, are you saying is not functional? Because our understanding was that Sky had got there via an indirect flight in March.
The Skukuza Airport, Pepe, is operational. It's the route has not been reinstated. So, you know, tickets that were booked on the Cape Town-Skukuza route pre-COVID, that route has not been reinstated yet. And the reason why the route hasn't been reinstated is because it relies a lot on international travel. It's about 90% international travel and about 10% local travel. I mean, obviously, airlines cannot operate with 10% seat occupancies. And so what you do is you offer rerouting alternatives, which are viable. And the viable rerouting alternative is a service between Cape Town and Skukuza via Johannesburg. So we're still fulfilling the obligation to deliver the service. It's just that it's via Johannesburg. Now, there has been a period of time where the Skukuza Airport had to shut down because of an outbreak of COVID. I don't know that we are referring to that at this point in time, but there have been times where it has not been available, and also times where it has not been available because of shortened staff because of COVID, because they've had COVID outbreaks within their own staff complement. And, you know, at those times, you know, very unfortunately, also, we've had to rejig the schedule to accommodate the hours of operation that the airport has been restricted to.
Okay. Roger, on the issue then of that was the scenario that the Umbud was speaking to, where you have the airline, for business reasons, choosing to cancel a flight that a passenger or passengers had booked on. Her argument, and she has conferred with many of her ombudsman colleagues around the world, given that, you know, COVID has, this is an indirect COVID thing, not a direct COVID thing. You've chosen not to open your routes. But she says that in that case, most definitely the consumer would have the right of a full refund. Plus, as in Sky's case, she had to pay
several thousand rand for accommodation.
A couple of thousand rand. Accommodation, yeah. You know, it always costs more if you take the car that you hired to another destination or drop off a zone from that you'd previously arranged. So I'd like to hear your response to that the airline is responsible for reimbursing not just the cost of the ticket, but for those directly incidental costs as well.
Yeah. Our obligation is the fulfillment of the travel between point A and point B. And, you know, one way or the other, we've been able to do that. So we have given the alternative, and, you know, that in our consideration is the fulfillment. I mean, the situation, the circumstances that we've defined are, you say, indirectly COVID-related. We still say directly COVID-related. And, you know, we're not trying to hang our hat on COVID. We hate COVID as much as everybody else hates COVID. But we also can't be a victim of COVID to the betterment of individuals, our customers, that we are trying to provide a service to. I think in the situation of the Cape Town to Skukuza route, that route has not been reinstated as yet. So in other words,
Roger, in fairness, this is not about a Cape Town to Skukuza direct flight. Sky had an indirect flight validly bought through an offer which is available on your website that she in good faith purchased full rate for and had it cancelled on her. That's not a COVID-related issue.
Yeah, I think the circumstances that you're defining, I'm not altogether familiar with the background. I understood that the background was there was a direct service that hadn't been reinstated, and therefore an indirect service had been opted for, and then the airport wasn't available on one of the days. So there had to be a night stop and accommodation involved, and all of this is COVID-related, circumstances beyond our control. If it was circumstances within our control, as the ombudsman had said, if the airline had elected to chop and change, then I fully agree. We must pick up the cost of accommodation. If it's our fault, we must pick up the cost of accommodation. We don't have an argument with that. But if it's circumstances out of our control and we've gone out of our way to do the best we possibly can to fulfill our obligations, which is what we do, because these are our customers and we must look after our customers at all costs, then, you know, at the end of the day, we've fulfilled our obligations. We've delivered the service from point A to point B.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree, and I'm going to re-engage with Mkhata Mbahlele, the ombudsman, off air, and return to the issue. You said a very interesting word there. You said we can't be made to bear the financial repercussions or whatever word you used for the betterment of consumers, of your customers. This was never an issue about betterment or enrichments, but around the reimbursement of costs that they had to bear as a direct result of a flight that was cancelled for business reasons. There was nothing stopping you operating that flight other than the commercial imperatives.
But Pippa, you see, that's we do have a point of departure, because you're saying it opted not to operate it because of commercial reasons, but you know, those commercial reasons have their origins, their roots in COVID-19. You know, it's not the airline's fault that there are no travelers on a route. You know, what are we expected to do? If you've got one passenger on a route, are you supposed to fulfill that? And by the way, we do. You know, just recently we reinstated the services to Kasani in Botswana. And when you do reinstate the services, sometimes you fly one and two passengers, and we fulfill that. We comply with our obligations. We have to, because those are our customers. Mm. But if we haven't reinstated the route yet, as in the case of Cape Town to Skukuza, you know, we've opted not to reinstate the route because of COVID. At some point, the route will be reinstated when we are assured that there are travelers wishing to avail of that route. And there's one other point I'd like to circle back to very quickly, Pippa and Wendy, if you don't mind. You used the term earlier on, smaller routes, and the word monopoly. And I'd like to just highlight that there's no such thing as a monopoly. We provide services to the smaller routes by election. And we are in an open skies environment. You know, any airline is free to operate any services to any destinations domestically within South Africa. That is what the open skies is all about. Air Link has made its business to provide services to the smaller destinations, to many of the smaller destinations. We do those services in competition with other carriers. There is no such thing as a monopoly. It's a free market, and it's a completely open skies. I must say, however, that the smaller routes are much more difficult to serve, because you've got an inconsistency of demand, and more often than not, you need to match supply to that demand. So they're very difficult to make economic or commercial sense of, but we've been able to do that over many years. This has been our business for the last 30 years, and we've done so and built a business on that basis, but premised always on integrity and on service delivery and customer centricity. Service delivery along the lines of on-time performance, for example, where I have to say, and without sounding bashful at all, you know, Air Link at the moment is market leading. We're industry leading with on-time performance. Our statistics at the moment, as published by the Airports Company of South Africa, we are more than 98% of all of our flights on time. And I'm not talking about just reliable. They are on time, 98%, industry leading. And that's all about service delivery to the customer all the time. So, yes, there are going to be glitches in the service, and there are going to be some disruptions. And always, Roxanne and Karen and the team that are in our customer care facility and function will go out of their way to make sure that we always address the needs of the customer. We don't like having unhappy customers. Unfortunately, you've been confronted by one or two or three unhappy customers, and we will address those unhappy customers and make sure that they are, that their requirements have been met one way or the other. So you know, I think that let's hold that thought and listen to any other points that you'd like to raise.
Well, one question that quite a number of our listeners are asking, Roger, and this is Pippa speaking, is whether the flights that are being affected by these closures are still being offered on the website. Sue's comment is, if I go onto the Air Link website to buy a ticket, can they promise not that they're not selling new tickets to airports that currently aren't in service?
Pippa, absolutely. I mean, it would be irresponsible of Air Link to offer for sale tickets where we don't know for sure that we can operate. Having said that, we have got tickets that are held by customers that were issued before we were aware of Polokwane and Richards Bay Airport not being open, Polokwane Airport being decategorized, and those tickets will be held and they're available for as soon as the airports are operational again. Having said that, we are not selling tickets on either of those two routes at the moment. So we've held back on ticket sales for the simple reason that we don't know where the airports are going to operate. We are engaged with the Polokwane Airport Management and the Gateway Airport Authority Limited Management, that's the parent company of the airport, and we're waiting for them to give us an indication as to when the airport is going to be open, and obviously that has to be confirmed by the Civil Aviation Authority as well. In the case of Richards Bay, as soon as they press the button, we are ready to press the button and open up the flights available, have our inventory on offer again for sale, and we're ready to operate that route at short notice. And we've got the aircraft available, the crews are available, our staff at Richards Bay are available. We're just waiting for the airport to give us an indication that they will be open again and our services will be resumed.
Wendy?
Okay, so is there ever a case? I mean, I just think I need to clarify. The Ombud was referring to that particular section of the Act, Consumer Protection Act, which actually ironically refers to overbooking in the case where all the airlines were doing
which
so
we
well.
Don't
yeah.
We don't practice
okay.
overbooking at all.
Right, yeah. Good to know. So it is the case, though, that, I mean, people, businesses from airlines to travel, so other travel suppliers, et cetera, wedding suppliers, it's certainly not the case that if the event could not go ahead because of COVID restrictions, that the supplier was able to say the only option available to you is a banking of the ticket or some kind of voucher.
Yeah.
It's certainly not the case. Many airlines, you know, went ahead and off and did refund, some with a battle, but it's certainly not a justification to say that something was directly or indirectly COVID related and therefore you are not obligated to offer a refund, because that certainly isn't the position of the Ombud or other similar colleagues around the world. So I don't think you can use that. My main question is it Air Link's policy in the case of changed routes or airports that close unexpectedly or whatever, that there is no option of that refund? It was offered to Helen, I think it was, of our three case studies.
Yeah.
Is that just a special case or are there other cases? I'm just trying to get at what your sort of general policy is on that.
Let's circle back quickly to what the Ombud said, and that was, if the airline on its own volition for its own internal reasons elects to discontinue a service, and I'll give you an example. It's a pre-COVID example. Air Link elected to discontinue its services to Palabora, and that happened sometime at the end of 2019. The customers that had tickets to fly to Palabora were offered one of two things. One, they could fly to Hoedspruit by their election, and Hoedspruit is within 1 hour's drive from Palabora, from their destination. So they could either choose to use their ticket and fly to Hoedspruit, or they could apply for a full refund. And if they elected a full refund, they got a full refund.
Good.
And the reason why is because that was within the airline's control. In situations that are outside of the airline's control, as in all three of these instances that we have been discussing, then we will either hold the tickets available for a later date. We'll extend the later date by at least 1 year. That ticket could be converted into a voucher when we have our voucher system in place, which is a matter of a few weeks away. But the ticket will remain valid for a year after its date of validity, available for use on that route, or once the voucher system is in place, on any other route for that customer or any other customer that customer elects. So that's what would happen in the instance here. Or if the customer then elects to cancel the service contract that they have with us, so at their election, then we will refund in accordance with the fair class rules. And that's the difference. So in other words, the ticket is available. It's available for a year beyond its validity date. It can be converted into a voucher, which is redeemable in the hands of the customer or any other person the customer elects. Or if the customer chooses to cancel, then the cancellation refund will be in accordance with the fare rules.
What does that mean exactly? I'm guessing that doesn't mean a full refund.
It means that there would, well, it depends on the class of ticket bought. The refund goes also in accordance with the class of ticket bought. So if you bought the cheapest ticket, you're likely to get the less refund. Proportionately, especially because the airline also incurs costs. Every time a ticket is booked, there is a system booking fee. It's not insignificant. It can be easily 200 Rand. And, you know, there's an admin cost associated with that as well. So the airline would be recovering the booking system cost and the admin cost. And that is in accordance with the published fare class rules, which are well conveyed on our website. And every time a transaction happens, not only on our website, but through the booking system, you know, the fare class rules are clear. And before a ticket is consummated in the system, the customer is obliged to acknowledge that they've read the fare class rules as well.
Wendy, I can see you shaking your head. Is something about that not compliant with the Consumer Protection Act from what you've just heard?
Well, we've done many shows on this. Certainly the Act didn't have in mind a pandemic situation. So the consumer protection authorities worldwide have scrambled, have conferred and have tried to come up with what they felt was fair. And all along, you know, it's been the advice and we've repeated it many times on the show to, you know, if it's at all possible for you, please don't insist on a refund.
If you can defer.
Keep the money in the system. We want these airlines, we want these companies to survive and to be there to service us in future. So that's what we've always said. But the consensus is that for whatever reason, the person is old, has comorbidities, doesn't want to travel again in the future, they were going for a 50th wedding anniversary, that's over and done, they don't want to travel again, whatever the case may be, they would most certainly be entitled to a full refund. So all I can say is that is what we've been advised by the protection authorities. I would imagine that the question now is, does that trump the fare systems and policies that are already in place? We could maybe return to that another day. I think for me, the takeout is that do go ahead when you're looking to book any travel service, flight, accommodation, etc. What I've learned out of this in the last year is most certainly those that offer flexibility are leading the way, and that's what consumers are looking for now. And to just go in eyes wide open, know what would happen under, if the flight is cancelled, and for whatever reason, know what you're in for in terms of your options at that point, and then make an informed decision.
And Wendy and Pippa, if I can perhaps just respond to that, you've highlighted an example of an elderly couple going on a 50th wedding anniversary and they've missed the boat and therefore they're not likely to travel again. We are empathetic to individual sets of circumstances and we will consider them. And in a situation like that, if they give that explanation that you've just given us over the radio, you know, we will be empathetic to that cause. And in all likelihood, that empathy will result in a full refund.
Roger, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. Roger Foster, Airlink CEO and Managing Director. And just to say that in Sky's case, at least, Wendy, eventually
she should get some
satisfaction.
Hey. She did. All three cases were sorted out. She was offered a free flight as compensation. She's already booked it. Remember, she said she wanted to go on a trip in June, July. And she said, I'm hoping nothing goes wrong with that. But she was grateful. But she also did say, you know, she felt it was due to media intervention and she still had a bit of a trust issue after what she'd gone through twice. Yeah. So that was her
take. Yeah, I think bottom line here is, again, it comes down to communication, Wendy, because I don't think anybody at any stage explained to Sky anything. I mean, anything around that this was possibly due to the airport being shut because of a COVID infection. I'm sure if somebody had said to her, we can't fly you there because the airport is shut,
or whatever the case was,
you would have been a lot more understanding. Like to think.
That's the message in just about everything that we do in this feature, Pippa, is, you know, communicate, especially when things go wrong, because, you know, a reasonable consumer has a great propensity to or ability to forgive and keep the good graces. When there's little communication coming around a negative decision or development, that's when the problems arise. So yes, definitely the communication could be better. And it's so easy these days, for companies to communicate effectively with their their customers.
It's the common thread through all three stories. It shouldn't be left to a customer to happen to spot it on the website that there has been an issue. Anybody who had a flight booked that was going to an airport that has been closed,
you
the airline should
phone?
Have been contacted them. Yeah.
Yes.
They should have been they should have heard it from the airline, not from a random spotting on social media.
That brings us back to Mango. There's people arriving at the airport and then discovering
there's no flight. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's just unforgivable.
That's the worst case.
It's
scenario.
Unforgivable in the current context. Right, let's listen to one or two voice notes that have come in on this before we wrap up Consumer Talk.
I say I'm mind boggles at this guy. I think you said it's SA Airlink. This is an absolute marketing own goal. I don't want to say what my name is. I'm an attorney as well. If they got your money and they can't fly you, they must refund you. It's not rocket science. Go to the small claims court or go to the appropriate body, claim the money back. This guy is crazy because I've just put a tick on my notebook. Never will I use the services of any airline that decides to refuse to refund the money. It's also highly unethical behavior. It's disgusting.
Pippa, hi. You've probably addressed this with Wendy before, but I don't have the answer. I was forced to bank a Kalula flight because the government school holidays changed. So we booked for July in the beginning of the year in hope, and then the school holidays were changed, and so then I couldn't reach Kalula at all, still can't reach Kalula, and so was forced to bank in that travel bank, but those have to be used before November. Is there any recourse in terms of getting what we actually paid with were Discovery miles back? I realize it's a complicated scenario, so I'd be very thankful for Wendy's insight on that. It's Karen.
Okay, Karen.
Very quickly, Wendy.
Very quickly, the difference is that it was your decision to cancel rather than the airline saying we're not operating that flight anymore for whatever reason, whether it was their fault or not. And in that case, the normal cancellation rules will apply, and it would appear that you have to bank it. So I don't think in this case, because the cancellation decision was yours, albeit made because of the school holidays changing, but the airline doesn't have to factor that into account. It's your cancellation, so unfortunately you're at their mercy when it comes to recourse.
Okay, thanks for that. Thank you everybody for your engagement. Gosh, we didn't have time for any open line stuff today, Wendy, but thank you very much for setting up that interview with the CEO for us and tackling these cases on behalf of our listeners.
You're welcome.
We'll chat again next week. Reminder, if you want to send Wendy a case, the email address is consumer@nola.co.za, spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R.